The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Praise the Lord. Wow, you're here. I'm here. More importantly, God is here. We've gone on a journey this weekend. A journey where we have recognized we are a prophetic people, not birthed out of false triumphalism, not birthed out of a desire to draw attention to ourselves. But as we wrap up our time together, we can declare we are a prophetic people because Almighty God has already initiated on the earth processes of change. The enemy always responds to God's processes of change. God never responds to the enemy. He is not running the show. God initiates processes of change. The enemy responds. People respond. But the majesty of God always triumphs. And at banner headline level, that's what's been happening the last few years. We have been gone through cycles where we have been responding to God's processes of change. We've gone from one level of glory to another level of glory, understanding God's processes of change. We are not an organization. We are a movement. We are a people in relationship with Almighty God. And we've chosen to follow the ways of God. I think deeply about foundational themes connected to the prophetic, rather than the outworking of the prophetic. We see that even in our short lifetime as believers, we've lived individually in seasons of God that have begun and come to an end. But the church has also entered and exited seasons in God. This is especially true of the Pentecostal charismatic stream. But it doesn't mean that we leave everything behind. When we exit a season of God, the principles of what we learned go forward with us. But much of the verbiage and experiences that we have lived in historically end, on some occasions, quite dramatically. An example of that is historically Lutheranism swept across Europe many centuries ago and produced the church that once again was preaching a message of grace and faith, by faith alone, by grace alone, a man and woman can come to salvation in Jesus. God restored that message to the church, but Lutheranism died a long time ago. Lutheran churches are still on the churchscape today. Some of them have evolved into preaching another gospel, not the gospel of the kingdom. This is true of some of the historical churches, in the USA and the UK. But as we wrap up our time together, we can give God thanks for the past. God is not the God of the past. He is present future. We have the past and previous seasons of God to learn from, but God is present future. If you want to be reset prophetically this weekend, ask the Spirit of the Living God to give you a revelation of God being present future, which means you are present future. Prophecy, times where God speaks to you and I in deep with deep clarity, is all connected to God being present future, to you and I being present future. God speaks prophetically, and sometimes the words are so far into the future, we can feel a lack of connection. The reality is this, and this is God's reality. He births in us God-given horizons in our lives. This helps you and I set goals and movement in our relationship with Him. Never try and make the fulfillment of a prophetic word your primary focus. Yes, we hear words that illuminate a horizon in our future, but the key is setting goals and developing understanding to generate movement in a relationship with Him. That's the power of prophecy. No matter how far away we are from prophetic fulfillment, that sense of the prophetic word being alive, when we focus on God, always creates movement in our lives. There's two famous Bible verses that are so appropriate here. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, from the Amplified Bible. That's a turned up loud Bible. I have to shout when I read from the Amplified Bible. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. But standing side by side is Revelation 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. He who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty, the ruler of all. In so many ways, we focus on the Alpha and Omega, who is present, who is to come, future, the ruler of all, who was, when we measure what He has done in our lives through previous seasons of God, not just in you and I individually, but collectively. We sometimes have to play the game on God's terms. If you're a scholar, want to measure something of eternity, if that be possible, audit what God did in the church in the 20th century. It's amazing. The breadth and scope of what God did in the church will take our breath away. Most of us were born in the 20th century. Anyone born in the 1990s? Let me see your hand. Maybe there's a hand or two going up. 1980s? Anyone born in the 1980s? 1970s? 1960s? 1950s? Oh! The 50s were the decade. If you were not born in the 1950s, you don't know what it means to live. <laughs> 1940s. Wow, hands still going up. 1930s. Wow, this is getting better. 1920s. They're all in the graveyard. Amen. I'll quit while I'm ahead. Amen. Why am I doing this? I haven't got a clue. It must be attached to my message. Yes, I remember. God was very active in all the decades in the 20th century. But we were born into this life We came to faith. I came to faith in 1983, having been born in 59. Sorry. I was thinking from the original Greek again. So we know our natural birth date, we know our spiritual birth date. But look at what the Lord has done in our lives in a very short time. Ultimately, our purpose on earth is all wrapped up in divine objectives. We need to embrace the prophetic, not as a mix and match, a pick and mix, that we can embrace as part of our happiness package. If you're looking for a prophetic word tonight, let me give you one right now. Embrace the massive divine objective for your life. God has a great divine objective for your life. Receive this into the core of your being. I'm just going to let that hang in the air. Absorb that into the core of your being. Because fundamentally, this connects you and I with our destiny, identity, and calling. In so many ways, any prophecy you've ever been given, and on any occasion God has spoken to you through Scripture, through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, it will be connected to one of the three, probably all of the three, destiny, identity, and calling. I've never forgotten the time God spoke to me on the first occasion. I've been called to function as a prophet in the USA, going way back to 1987, in Glasgow, Scotland. I didn't even know there were prophets way back in 1987. Come to mention it, I don't really think I knew anything in 1987. But that word set me on a course where the following year I began to prophesy. I wasn't ministering as a prophet. And charted a course in my life that's still running to this very day. God gave me an outline map of the USA in the shape and form of a vision, a green neon light outline of the USA. It was incredible. Every time I think about that, I speak about it, I can see it as vividly now as I did in 1987. It was all connected to destiny, identity, and calling. There's always a response to the present future component in a prophetic word. One is to explore in the spirit. Our souls are very impatient. God speaks one day, we expect it to be fulfilled the next. And we're crying out on the day after that, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? And God says, well, how long is it since I spoke to you? 2 days. The Lord gives us one of his behold, I stand at the door looks. What part of nincompoop do you not understand? Seriously, when we explore in the Spirit, we're getting onto God's timeline with the invitation to bring prophetic words into a present relationship with Him. Sometimes God speaks phenomenal prophecies in our lives when we're actually lost in God. I've been lost in God several times over my 37 years as a Christian. Not in sin, not in rebellion. Just like, Lord, what part of New Zealand did you emigrate to? Where are you? I don't want to play the evangelical two-step any longer. Bible, pray, and try and convince myself you're happy with that and I should be happy with that. No, thank you. It's often in those times God speaks the most profoundly, because what we consider to be a time of being lost in God is actually, in heaven's economy, a time of you and I being repositioned in God. I found as a prophet and being part of a prophetic generation, part of a prophetic people, we must always be living for today. Even better, living in the moment. This moment is all any of us ever have. But we live in the moment, we live for today, and we plan for the future. Look for the interplay between today and the future. Is there a sense of the future calling you in your spirit tonight? Can you hear the future calling you? What's that saying to you? What's that demanding of you in the present? Look at the interplay. Don't get involved in the mechanics of the process. Thank God for the process. This creates a present-future thinking in our lives and improves the quality of our decision-making. If our decision-making is always based with our prophetic future in mind, it means the livingness of God is very much alive within us. Don't make future decisions in those seasons where you're in a wilderness and feel very lost in God. Don't make medium-range decisions and long-range decisions in such seasons. The whole nature of the prophetic is not to engage you and I in some kind of game. It is to deepen our relationship with Him. There's good quality questions we can always bring to God as our present future God. When we call on God, we call on Him as a present future people. We call on God as the Alpha and Omega, a God that already has thoughts and plans for our welfare and peace, to give us hope for a final outcome. A good quality question. Who are you for me right now, God? I pray that none of us live in a generic faith tonight, that we read Scripture blandly rather than probe Scripture. Get out of generic thinking when you read the Word of God, and into highly specific thinking when you read the Word of God. It's one thing calling on Almighty God. God isn't even His name. It's more His job title. God has a personal name. You and I have a personal name. What we do isn't who we are, it's what we do. There's a rumor abounding that I'm a prophet. There's rumors abounding in assemblies of God in the UK that I'm a pastor. But it's not who I am, it's what I do. I have a name. My name is Alan Ross. I used to be ashamed of that name. And a lot of other people added their faith to my faith in that regard. Now I'm very proud of that name. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what the grace of God has done to the person that owns that name. God's name, His personal name, is Yahweh. It's a hard name to even say without falling on your knees. We can call on God at any point of the redemptive names compass, but Yahweh is His personal name. When you become very good friends with the boss, He invites you to call Him by His first name rather than family name. When you grow in your relationship with God, there's always a sense of God inviting you to call him by his name, Yahweh. Who is God for you right now? Ask him, who do you want to be for me right now? Do you remember when the recession hit America in 2008? Subprime mortgages, all that stuff. Millionaires becoming homeless. All kinds of disruption hit not only the American economy, but the worldwide economy. We saw our house fall in value by about 35% in a matter of months. But God promised me in recession, he was going to prosper me. He says, I will prosper you in a time of recession. God was going to enhance his presence in my life as Jehovah Jireh. I liked that. I thought, ooh, I'm going to pray to God again in the future. Who is God for you in this season? Ask him and believe. Act as though God is real. Act as though the word of God is true. And watch what he tells you. Watch what he reveals to you. What are we discovering about God's nature right now? Look at people who have made very bad choices in the body of Christ. Not to judge or criticize, but observe about how God is dealing with them. You'll see mercy, compassion, understanding. What's God telling you about his nature presently in the United States of America and the United Kingdom? We're becoming more and more like identical twins in our core beliefs, which means we share the same good, bad, and ugly in our national cultures. I see the mercy of God in the United Kingdom, especially getting us out of the EU. I see the goodness of God in sustaining community and family life when the enemy is trying to destroy community and family life in the United Kingdom. And what are we exploring about our futures in him? Those thoughts that will not go away, those dreams that give you emotional satisfaction every time you think about them, you've been thinking about them for many years. What are you exploring between who you are now and where the dreams of God are taking you? If you've no dreams of God in operation in your life tonight, I'm not going to give you 7 steps to discover God's dreams for your future. Do you remember when the charismatic movement had more steps than Alcoholics Anonymous? I'm a product of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was a 12-step program. Do you remember 5 steps to world-overcoming faith? 3 steps to invincible prosperity. Everything seemed to be step-driven. I think the Holy Spirit was giving us building blocks that we were learning to read the language of faith, the language of the Spirit. The way we had to learn the letters of the natural alphabet when we were little toddlers. I'm going to ask you tonight, if you have no dreams of God alive in your heart, that you'll make a simple prayer and invite the Father to dream his dreams for your life through you. It's simple, and it's a yes and amen prayer. It's a yes and amen declaration in heaven. It's the sense of God saying, this is a prayer I've been waiting for you to pray for many decades. Father, dream your dreams for me through me. And watch your thought life change. Your emotions change. Your intuitive language begin to change. We are in relationship with God, But we need to always be exploring that relationship with God. I'm going to bring this plane into land very quickly tonight. You've been so patient listening to the teachings over this weekend. I'm trying to square the circle. I'm trying to bring some closure to our four sessions together, that there will be divine order in everything that's been said session by session. I've learned a lot this weekend, just preaching and teaching and seeing many more truths in what I had prepared before I came here. But being in relationship with a present future God means a present is assured and a future is assured. I believe the fundamental challenge for you and I tonight is simply to believe that God is. It's an easy statement to make in a place like this, but believing that God is needs to take place in our spirits. God is. And I'm going to act upon everything God has ever said to me like it's true. I'm making the declarations of God in my life non-negotiable. Not only that, there's a willingness to be shaped and formed and enter into the necessary processes that God may fulfill everything he has said in my life. The Apostle Paul shared that confidence in Philippians 1 verse 6. And you know this Bible verse very well. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That scripture that we're familiar with is absolutely loaded with the present, future aspect of God. And our relationship with God always grows as we align ourselves with his view of us in the present and in the future. Prophetic words speak to you and I about our future, then relate to us in the present through our destiny. Some of you have had prophetic words spoken to you over the weekend, even historically, by me and other voices. God takes the future quality of a prophetic word, brings it into the present, and then says, welcome, welcome to your destiny. God always develops you and I from the place of our future. When he speaks prophetically, he's not rolling the dice and saying, well, I'm in a big church tonight. If I can fulfill prophecy 1 out of 3, I'm doing not bad. Whew, let's roll those dice. When God speaks to you and I, he's speaking from the future, where it's already been accomplished. And here we are standing going, I could never do that. No, that's not me. That prophet needs to get a proper job. Actually, he could handle some speech therapy as well. God is speaking to us from the future as mission accomplished. He is speaking to us from the place of a future towards where we are in the present. Their responsibility is rather simple in the last analysis. It's simply to respond to processes of change and development. We've all had events hit our life that plunge us into processes that we never budgeted for, that were never on our wish list, Have you found yourself worshipping at Processes Pentecostal Church? Some painful places. I remember discovering about transition in 2004 when I was in massive transition in ministry and family. I really felt like bombs had exploded in my life. And when God revealed to me in his rather sweet and kindly way that the purpose of the transition I was in was not to bring change in my life, but to make me a different person from the person that I was when I entered transition to the person I would be when I exited transition. And I thought, Lord, that isn't funny. This is too painful. I don't mind doing the charismatic two-step with you when I'm a member of the glee club. But Lord, this is affecting me at the very core of my being. That's Processes. And of course, there's great development in divine processes. A challenge for you and I is when we look at the horizon, when we hear the promises of God that will be fulfilled when we reach the horizons of our life, is to have times of a moral inventory, an ethical inventory, not to beat ourselves up and feel all condemned, but to acknowledge in order to fulfill that word, there's a range of Christ-like attributes that must be developed in me. Most of us have a lot of the fear of man that needs to be overcome in our lives. The fear of man fiercely opposes Christ-like attributes being developed within us. When Christ-like attributes are developed in our lives, well, we triumph over the fear of man. The Apostle Peter was the first minister who ever fell from grace. He fell from grace because of the fear of man. In fact, it was the fear of a little slip of a girl saying to him, "I have seen you with the Nazarene." And Peter said, "No, it wasn't me." The fear of man was very much at the front of his mind. "No, it wasn't me." Or if he'd been from Scotland, he'd have said, "It wasn't me, Jimmy." But on the day of Pentecost, something had happened in Peter's life. He went through processes of change. The Lord restored him personally. Christ-like attributes were now in place that he triumphed over the fear of man. He preached a testimony-driven first message of the church. And 3,000 people got born again. The Holy Spirit fell. I'm sure Peter wrote in his journal that night, "Woo, it's really cool being an apostle of Jesus. I will get that put on my print, on my business card. I will score out fisherman and write in apostle of Christ Jesus." It was a bad day in Simon's life when Jesus prophesied over him, "From this day you will call yourself Peter," because he just got 1,000 business cards printed that morning saying, "Simon the fisherman." Moving on very quickly. That wasn't bad. The response was negligible. Moving on as we try and land this plane. But God always begins processes of change in our life with fullness in mind. God always initiates change in our life thinking fullness. He's moving you and I from fullness to fullness. In our faith life, we do not need to consider ourselves as empty, moving towards fullness. We can at least take up our position in Christ Jesus and venture forth from fullness to fullness. We're exploring our relationship with our present, future God tonight, because He creates pathways. He creates pathways for you and I from now to then and there. Yes, the process begins with a series of steps, but is designed to take you and I into our destiny. What I've found as I've thought deeply about pathways, I feel the Lord prodding me onto, and I'm not sure, I'm uncertain. I'm too old now to make big mistakes. I don't have a lot of decades left to make good on bad choices I can make. So I can't afford to get it wrong. It gives me the fear of the Lord, which is always good. But that sense of enhanced caution, that sense of, Lord, I can't afford to misread you in this situation. So I look for favor. Divine favor enters into pathways that God is opening up to us. When I began as a traveling prophet in 1997, I was absolutely astonished that everybody seemed to like me. I didn't get it, because I've never been a person that's been universally popular. I've always been a very odd kind of individual. I think I come to America because Americans don't seem to notice. So I was Bob noticed. And Colleen's beginning to suss it too. But I was astonished at the favor of God. Yes, I was going along pathways, but the favor of God was there. I found it's the ultimate in litmus test to make a big decision in the absence of the favor of God being present in the circumstances. In so many ways, is spiritual suicide. God not only gives you and I His grace, He gives you and I His favor. Grace and favor are not mutually exclusive. They are the identical twins that take us by the hand as we walk along the pathways of God. We're moving to our destiny. As a people of destiny, we need to live in a strong identity. The power of destiny is the introduction of our identity. The power of the journey is all about transformation, yet the processes establish our identity. The outcome on achieving destiny is simply a well-developed identity. When I became a functional prophet 23 years ago, God gave me a persona that went with the calling. It meant that people were convinced I was a prophet because of the persona that emerged on the platform. I was not born with this persona. It's only there because it's now part of my identity in Jesus. I believe I will be a prophet in heaven because it's an eternal calling. I would imagine it will look very different in heaven as it does on the earth. But identity and destiny go hand in hand. It's a journey that brings about transformation. We have no future without the process. It's the process that makes us rich. The power of prophecy in the Bible is staggering. Look at the word God gave Moses in Exodus 7, verse 1. This is offensive to a religious mind. What a prophecy. There's Moses about to receive the word of God. Keep at the front of your mind. The power of this prophecy was to begin a series of steps in Moses' life to establish identity, destiny, and calling. The word of the Lord was, "See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet." Wow. Wow. I think we need a generation of Moses to rise up with a word like, "I shall make you as God," to the United States of America. "I shall make you as God," to the United Kingdom. In fact, I'm going to tease this out a little bit tonight, prophetically, as we gather as a prophetic people. I'm going to take a risk spiritually and prophetically and say that the purpose of God in the second generation prophetic movement, as we gather as a remnant of Almighty God, a remnant of a holy God, that as a prophetic people, our destiny is to be as God to Elk River, to Minnesota, to the United States of America, to the nations of the earth. And as God raised up Aaron to be Moses' prophet, so God will raise up a multitude of prophets across the earth to work in tandem with the people of God that are like God to a fallen and lost humanity. The power of a prophecy, this prophecy and the process that Moses entered into, developed faith, power, and authority that Moses could stand before Pharaoh. Before Moses began this calling, he became a deliverer in his heart. Yes, he was walking along the pathways, but when Moses closed his eyes, he could see more with the eyes of his spirit than he could with his physical eyes, looking at a formidable enemy. Philippians 3, verses 12 to 17 is your homework. It's a template for everything we've learned tonight with direct relationship to all we have learned this afternoon. I'm a biblicist. I don't like to preach anything out there unless I find it in here. It needs to be in the written word of God before it can be proclaimed from a Christian pulpit. This weekend we've talked in different occasions about the written word of God. Where do I begin? As a prophetic people. And if you're in a wilderness right now, we're reading the scriptures. Every day is a chore. Begin afresh in Philippians 3, verses 12 to 17. Paul's exposition of the journey, where he stresses the need to press on, reach forward, press toward the goal, live in ongoing revelation, live in the same mindset as your own generation of believers. Then follow his example as he's blazed the trail. That's the joy of being in a prophetic generation. That's the joy of being a prophetic people, that the Lord will always give us men and women that blaze a trail, and we can follow their godly example. Make that your template for study over 2020. If you continue into 2021, God will not mind at all. In fact, he will be rather pleased with your diligence. We're living from the future.
into the present. And we are being edified by God's view of a real identity. When God speaks identity, be not only edified, but smile inwardly. Because this is how God sees me. We've all been demolished because of how people see us. Sometimes we've torn ourselves to shreds because of the way we see ourselves. But we're always edified by God's view of our real identity. Much of the prophetic journey is the Lord establishing strongholds in our mind. And it develops mindsets that we should live out of effortlessly. They're there to be accessed day and night and night and day. But there has been a weakening in the body of Christ because of the onslaught of secularism. There's even a spirit of fear that would at times cause you and I to think twice about speaking the name of Jesus in so-called sophisticated society. But a powerful mindset to develop as a present future people relating to a present future God is depending on the Lord's eternal strength, eternal power, and forming a mindset around Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In days of weakness, in days of struggle, that's a good mindset to have instant access to. It's a place of liberation, that we were never meant to do anything for God in our own strength. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In my own walk with God, I believe I'm coming into the season of discovering the high call of the Lord on my life. And I sometimes get overwhelmed with the very thought of it. God has kept me very busy over the last 23 years. And I thought by this age and stage, a lot of things would be falling away. Instead, demand gets greater and greater. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've been given profound words about my destiny in Scotland by really internationally famous prophets. And I put some of them on the shelf for a number of years. It's beginning to happen right now. For my denomination, the Assemblies of God, at a national leadership level, are working on machinery and a framework to establish me as the prophet for the Assemblies of God in Scotland. That sounds impressive, but it terrifies me. Scottish people are crazy, by the way. You might have noticed that about me. We're a very unusual race, and it takes a Scotsman to understand a Scotsman, and it can be summarized in this sentence. Who on earth does he think he is? We don't like anybody that does anything out of the ordinary, because we've been highly mediocre in so many ways for a long time. Scottish people who succeed at a high level have often had to leave Scotland. When I emerged as a prophet in the 1990s in Scotland, there were no other prophets in Scotland. And there were no training mechanisms for prophets in Scotland. But I believe the time is coming for a fresh outpouring in the nation of Scotland. A nation of covenanters, a nation of transformational ministers, a nation of prophets, a nation of missionaries, a nation of theologians that have gone by the wayside and are now mediocre, secular people. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, destiny, identity, calling. That's the framework of thought you need to take away from this weekend and then have the Lord fill in the detail. He keeps writing mercy on every page of my life. I suspect he's writing mercy on every page of your life.